by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means.
Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. Tonight's featured show is Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. Welcome.
Well, thank you, and welcome to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel on Thursday evening. We are already almost through the month of May, and sadly, we flew through this month so fast, but we are in the process right now of trying to put together a series of programs that are connecting the dots for the American people. And we have a very special guest on our show tonight, and that is Mr. Trevor Loudon. Trevor has been on this program several times before, but we did a program back in, I believe it was in November of last year, and it was called The Real Enemies of America. And we're basically, this program will be part two of that earlier program, How America is Being Destroyed from Within. And Trevor Loudon has the unique position of being one of the most patriotic people in America, and he happens to be from New Zealand. And it amazes me, but so many of the really strong patriots in our country have come from somewhere else, and they realize just exactly how much we have been giving up and how most Americans have been asleep at the wheel and allowed a lot of very nasty things happen. And they come from areas that have probably cherished those rights more than we do. And that's a sad statement, but it's a reality that most Americans don't appreciate all the blessings that God has given us. And the first and the most important of those blessings is unalienable rights under our Constitution and the rights of individuals to own property and have true liberty and freedom. And that is slipping away so fast that we're losing our country so quickly. And now we have a president in place that appears to understand just exactly how much trouble we're in and has done an amazing job of turning some of those things around. But we've got a long ways to go, and we need people like Trevor Loudon who are the real patriots that are bringing the message to the American people. Trevor, welcome to tonight's show. I thank you for being a guest again. You have always been just an incredible influence on our programs because people want to hear what you have to say, and you do such a powerful job of explaining exactly how we are being eaten alive from within by people who are not concerned about protecting our Constitution. They're concerned about destroying it. And it's sad that we have that in our country, but thank God there are people like you out there that are willing to be the watchman on the wall. Trevor, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about you, and then let's go ahead and get into the discussion of the enemies within.
Oh, thank you very much for that intro, Dan, and it's always great to be on the program, and I'm certainly looking forward to coming up to the Red Pill Expo in not too long a time. I'm from New Zealand, as the accent gives away. I've been coming here about five or six years now. I've toured all over your country, spoken to at least 400 groups, and my message is very simple, is that Your constitution tells you you need to guard against enemies, foreign and domestic. And the domestic ones are way more dangerous than the foreign ones, and nobody's doing a darn thing about them. And I think it's only in the last year have people realized just how bad the internal danger is, the so-called deep state, the protesters on the street, the Antifa, the Black Lives Matter. All of these are manifestations of some form of communism. And that is where your deep state is coming from. You're in the throes of a Marxist revolution in your country. And the only thing between you and going under is President Trump. All that is stopping these people taking over right now. So that's where I am at, and I come here because if America goes down, so does every other Western country, including my own New Zealand. There ain't nowhere to run, folks.
No, that's right. There really isn't anywhere to go. And once we lose this, we will see, as President Reagan famously said, 1,000 years of darkness, because what we have, this experiment in liberty, is so unique in the world. Trevor, tell our listeners about the research that you have done in the writing of the Enemies Within, and then the video that came out, and about how many and how deep-seated this Marxist progressive revolution really is in the United States.
Yeah, well, people have to understand, and this is not a very pleasant thing to contemplate, that what was going on under Obama and would have been finished off under Hillary Clinton, and is still happening to a large degree under President Trump, is a full-blown Marxist revolution. This is like Czechoslovakia in 1948, where the communists took over all the organs of power, and then they used them to smash their opposition. You know, they used the government to basically destroy its opposition, as Obama was doing. And then they completely consolidate their power, and only when they completely have total unchallenged power do they tell people what they are. You know, Fidel Castro denied being a communist for years until he had the power completely under his control. So one thing I think a lot of Americans need to understand is that, you know, you get a lot of military people, a lot of government workers who have to undergo some form of security clearance for a job. Well, if you're in Congress or the Senate and you want to serve on the Armed Services Committee or the Homeland Security Committee or even the Intelligence Committee, you need no security clearance whatsoever. Now, your enemies are aware of this, and they have been using your congressmen, they've been infiltrating your Congress and your Senate, and getting people in there who are basically working for the other side. We say there's at least 100, and this is a thesis of my movie, Enemies Within, and we say there's at least 100 members of the House and 20 members of the U.S. Senate, at least, who are so enmeshed in neo-communism or Muslim Brotherhood front groups, or both, they couldn't pass a background security check to drive a school bus. Yet they are serving in the highest reaches of the government. They run the Democratic Party. They are on the Armed Services Committee, the Intelligence Committee, the Homeland Security Committee, the Judiciary Committee writing your laws. They're on the Education Department setting education policy, and they are working to destroy your constitution every day, and nobody's doing a damn thing about them. There are no background checks. The media won't touch them, and nobody else will either. And we're never going to win this unless we call these people out and get them out of Congress and out of the Senate, and hopefully into jail, many of them.
Well, Trevor, right now in this country, I mean, people are finally starting to wake up to the concept of the deep state. This is really only a manifestation of exactly what you're talking about in your book and your DVD, Enemies Within.
Yeah, well, the deep state is what we've been talking about for some time under another name. It's the Marxist and globalist infiltration of your government. You know, you got Brennan, you know, who voted for the Communist Party, was head of the CIA. The CIA was set up. It was completely infiltrated by communists right from the start in the OSS days. You've got Comey of the FBI, who said he was sort of some sort of leftist socialist when he was in college. You know, well, what does that mean? It means these people believe in something different than what most Americans believe in. And their duty, as they see it, is to push people forward who conform with their views and suppress and harass people who don't. That's what Marxists do. Now, have we seen any of that happening in the last year, 2 years at all? Is that familiar to anyone?
Oh, boy.
Now, this is what Marxists do. These are not liberals. These are not progressives. These are full-on Marxists. The same kind of Marxists that took over Cuba or Venezuela or even the Soviet Union. That is their mentality.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And one of the things that I think people are really overlooking is the fact that not only are these people Marxists, but they've sworn an oath to uphold, protect, and defend our Constitution. And they're liars on top of everything else. And that's one of the things that we have to understand about Marxists. A lie is only a means to an end. They had never had any intention of honoring those oaths of office.
Well, you know, the Soviet Union was famous for betraying every treaty it ever signed. Because if you're a communist, your word means nothing. All it is tactics. My next book, one of my next books is on the U.S. Senate and the traitors in there. And the front cover is going to be somebody from behind, somebody in a suit saluting the flag, and behind their back, their fingers are crossed. And that's what we have to understand. You know, Marxists operate on a different moral system than we do. Lying, cheating, stealing is perfectly okay. Not even okay, it's morally obligated to further the revolution. And then you have the Muslim Brotherhood, the Islamists, who are infiltrating the country in tandem with the communists. Well, they have a concept called taqiyya, which means defending Sharia, defending Islam. But it is a broad enough concept that any form of defense is acceptable, including lying. So they will happily lie to cover their tracks and to infiltrate the country. So we're dealing with people that don't work on our system of morality. So we have to get very serious about internal security and set the FBI and other agencies or the clean aspects of the FBI after these people before it's too late.
Yeah, and I think John Brennan is a perfect example of someone very deeply enmeshed in the American security apparatus, and John Brennan is even acknowledged as a Marxist, as a communist, and he is also, my understanding, that he converted to Islam when he was over in Iraq.
No, Saudi Arabia. When he was a CIA station chief in Saudi Arabia. John Guandalo is very adamant. And he's a former FBI agent. He was, he knows people around Brennan. He was very adamant he converted to Islam. So what, you know, you've got the head of the CIA who voted for the Communist Party, was actively involved with communists as a young man, and converted to Islam. Now, do you think he would pass a security background check to work in the bank, work in a bank, or be a realtor in Florida. You know, there's no way that man could pass any form of background check, yet he is running the CIA, the most powerful intelligence agency, or probably second to the KGB in the world. You know, supposedly working on our side. Well, he's not on our side. He's working against us. And we have to understand that. This is a civil war. This is a non-shooting civil war that is going on in America right now. And these people are part of the enemy, the anti-constitutional forces.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Trevor, you certainly know this better than anyone, but we didn't win the Cold War. The communists early on discovered that they couldn't win a war against the United States economically, and so they've been planning for a long time to feign that they are changing, or they are turning into free market economies, when in fact they're doing the exact opposite, and they've been working underground within our system to destroy our system for the last, really for the last at least 40 or 50 years, and it's been on hyperdrive for the last 40 years.
Well, that's right, you know, the collapse of communism, you know, Reagan put huge pressure on them. They knew that they couldn't survive if they tried to compete directly with America. So they staged a strategic retreat. That's what they did. They retreated. And we foolishly declared that we had won. Well, we hadn't won. We'd forced them into a retreat. And it's like cancer, you know. If you've got a cancer in your body and you cut 90% of it out, but you leave 10% of it in, and then you forget about it for 10 years, what happens?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, it metastasizes. It's all through you. And that's exactly where communism is today in America. You know, what we call political correctness, which is in Hollywood, it's in the movies, it's in sport, it's in culture, that is Marxism. That is complete Marxism. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist thing. The gay rights movement is a Marxist thing. The subversion of the churches, the turning of the churches into social justice warriors, is a Marxist thing. Most of what your kids are taught in public schools is pure Marxism. So how do we say we beat communism when half of our federal budget is devoted to spreading it, you know, amongst your own people? So we should rejoice that the Soviet Union collapsed, but it was, they managed it, they came out of it, and now they're stronger than we are in many ways. Militarily, they're far stronger than the United States. They got three times more nukes than America has. America hasn't built a new nuclear weapon since 1992, and the shelf life of them is 20 years. So there is serious worry that we even have a nuclear deterrent now, where the Russians have nuclear bombs that could take out Texas. One bomb could take out Texas. So we gotta get, you know, that's why I support President Trump in rebuilding the military as fast as he can, because that's the only thing that's going to stop us from being attacked by Russia and China together. We gotta get prepared real quick. And we've got to realize the Cold War never ended, and most of it is being carried on within America's borders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Trevor, as a matter of fact, if you look around the world, virtually the whole continent of Africa now is living either under a totalitarian dictator or under outright communism and Marxism. And South America has been following that same path, South and Central America. If you look today at the number of countries that are living under communism or advanced socialism, the number now is probably close to double what it was 40 years ago.
Well, that's right, and you got to include California in that too.
Yeah. Yes,
but you do. But see, it's not, you know, because we don't see the big May Day parades, you know, through Moscow streets, and they don't fly the red flag all the time, people think they're no longer a threat, that they're no longer communist. You know, Vladimir Putin organized the world's largest communist youth festival in October last year with 50,000 young communists from all over the world to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution. And he gets up and makes a big speech and tells them, you are the future. You are the future. Well, what the heck does he mean by that? You know, as Putin says himself, you know, once a KGB man, always a KGB man. You know, all they ever did in Russia was to drop the word communism, modernize their economy, build up their military, and now they're getting to the point where they can start talking communism again, just as the Chinese are now doing. The leader of China just held a big Communist Party conference, and he said now is the time to recommit to Marxism. Marxism is the soul of the Chinese Communist Party. And then they just organized a big international festival on Marxism, a big conference on Marxism, and they invited people from all over the world, including the United States, to attend it. You know, we are back in the Cold War big time, and the quicker we realize it, the better.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I know I've got a friend that is a Montana legislator, and I also have another friend who is a big game outfitter in the area that's very well connected with the Montana Shooting Sports Association. They attended a big conference down in Jackson Hole. I'm going to say it was about 4 or 5 years ago. And one of the main speakers of that event was the former premier of the Soviet Union, Gorbachev was the main speaker for this event, and at the event he actually talked about how communism and Marxism is the future of the world, and how important that Marxism is for the protection of the environment and natural species, and that after he gave this speech, according to them, the whole crowd stood up and cheered. And this is Americans. This is Americans that did that.
Yeah, look, we have been breeding young communists in our universities for 40 years now, and now they're in key positions, leaders of the Democratic Party, they're in the media, they're in Hollywood, they're in business. And so, you know, it was a long said, you know, Khrushchev said years ago in the 50s or the 60s, we will bury you. You know, we will bring socialism to your country one step at a time till a point of no return. And that is what the Soviets and the Chinese and the Cubans and the Iranians have been doing for decades inside America now. And because you have no internal security virtually, you have no House Un-American Activities Committee, which was destroyed by the communists, you know, you're sitting ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And people wonder why things are changing so fast and why you're losing your Second Amendment rights and the First Amendment's under attack. Well, if you're having a revolution, you can't have people with guns, and you certainly can't have people who can speak their mind. So that's why they're under attack, because you are in a revolution right now. And there's a bit of a counter-revolution in 2016 with the election that caught the left by surprise. But they're doing everything they can now to overturn that. So we better make sure that President Trump wins the 2018 election in the 2020 election. Otherwise, we're in huge trouble.
We really are. And, you know, I think, Trevor, a lot of people don't realize that this push for global government that we keep hearing about is a push for global Marxist, really a communist or a fascist global government that is controlled by Marxists. And that is something that the shadow government in our country, the big corporations and all these people that have been funneling money into all these different organizations like Antifa and groups like that, the money that's behind this are the same people that are promoting international communism.
Yeah, you know, so a lot of them are just stupid. They're funding their own destruction, and a lot of them think that they're going to control us. You know, because the rich have always funded communism, the mega rich, because they see communism as a system of centralized wealth and control, which they can benefit from. And in some instances, they do. You know, people say, well, communism's always been a failure. Well, I dispute that. I think it's been a fantastic success, because it's not about redistributing wealth. It's not about caring for the underdog or anything like that. It is about the brutal, ruthless centralization of all power and wealth in a very few hands. That is what communism is about. Who is the richest man in North Korea? Who's the richest people in Cuba? Who are the richest people? You know, Putin is a multi-billionaire. You know, it's nothing to do with redistributing wealth. Well, it is. It's taking your wealth and giving it to the bosses, because they want
right.
two classes. They want a ruling class and everybody else, so they can treat us like cattle.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing that. We've had a gentleman by the name of Harry Buyens, who is a South African, on our radio show. And we're seeing that especially in places like South Africa, where the UN and all these liberal organizations touted Mandela as being, the next savior of the world, when in fact he was really a communist thug. He was part of a terrorist group in South Africa. The reason he was in prison was because he was intimately involved in the bombings of public areas and public violence. And that is now what's controlling the South Africans.
Yeah. You know, people say there's no, you know, I'd say 95% of Americans would have no idea that South Africa is a communist-controlled country. Same with Southwest Africa. Same with Angola. Same with Mozambique. Same with Kenya. Same with a whole lot of African countries. They don't fly the red flag openly, but they are all communist-controlled. And Nelson Mandela and every president of South Africa since has been a Communist Party member, as have all the ministers of education and public works and everything else. And now they're openly talking about confiscating all the land of the remaining white farmers to do what they did, you know, to the South African farmers, what they've already done in Zimbabwe. And this is the inevitable thing, you know, because the communists don't do things tomorrow. Sometimes people think, well, maybe they've softened up. But look, it takes years to consolidate power to the point where you can throw your weight around. You know, they famously asked, I think, Mao Zedong. They said, what's your opinion of the French Revolution? And he said, well, it's too early to tell. And it's only been 200 years. You know, this is how they think. This is long term, they think. This, they think in terms of history. We think in terms of football seasons or election cycles. You know, they think in terms of hundreds of years.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. And that's one of maybe the biggest downfalls of the American people is that we have been conditioned to think in those kinds of soundbite time frames rather than seeing the big picture and the long-term consequences.
Well, that's right. You know, Americans are like the ancient Romans, you know. You keep them fat and happy and occupied, you know, watching football and watching TV and watching, you know, American Idol and whatever's on. And as long as the money's coming in and as long as you can watch your sports and that, who cares about what happens elsewhere? Well, you know, the sheep in the pen that are just about to be slaughtered are very fat and happy too. You know, they got a pen, they get fed, you know, everything looks great. But one day they got to go into this down this chute into a room. Well, yeah, what's the harm of that? And, you know, so you know, America's the greatest country the world has ever seen, and there are more people in America who are aware of this kind of thing than any other, and more people willing to make a stand. But unfortunately, there's a heck of a lot of people who have been dumbed down through the education system to the point that they know virtually nothing about the political situation, and they are leading us all like sheep to the slaughter. So we have to take full advantage of miraculous events like Donald Trump's election to make sure we can keep the country on an even keel and turn this around. We've been given, in my opinion, a God-given chance to turn this country around, and we should take that very, very seriously. Because, you know, there's a lot of second chances in the Old Testament, you know, but I don't remember seeing any third chances.
No, you're right. And I think God has given us that opportunity, but I also think that God expects us to be brave enough and stand for what is true enough that we will not allow the wrong things to take over. God doesn't like cowards. He likes people of faith.
Well, that's right. You know, to be a Christian in the early days of Christianity was pretty much a death sentence, wasn't it? It wasn't going to a church and listening to nice music and you know, driving up in a nice car and shaking the pastor's hand. It was living in a catacomb, trying to spread the gospel with the Romans on your tail, ready to feed you to the lions. That's what Christianity started out as. And I think you need to rediscover that attitude if this country's going to be saved. Now, Christianity is a brave religion. It's a courageous, outward-looking religion. It isn't hiding away in your church. It isn't pretending the world doesn't exist. You know, look, if you are given the greatest, freest, richest country the world has ever known, with a constitution that comes directly out of the Bible, a system of government for free people, and you've got all these benefits that ensue from that, do you not think you have any responsibility for maintaining that? You think you're given this and you have no responsibility for keeping it going for the next generation? You can just fritter it away and think you're going to go to your savior and get a pat on the head?
No, that's right.
You know,
we've been treating it like a weedy garden really haven't tended our responsibilities, and that is one of the key tenets of our American system of liberty, is also understanding that we have personal responsibility. And that responsibility means we've got to have the guts to stand for what's right.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, you know, how many people have died and fought and suffered horribly so Americans could enjoy the liberty they have today? You know, in the Civil War, the War of Independence, you know, the slaughter that went on so that Americans could be free. And so Americans now, you know, so a lot of Christians, a lot of Americans have the idea, well, I don't get involved in politics, it's nothing to do with me. You know, so people have died and risked everything to give you liberty, and you have no responsibility for it. You have no responsibility for maintaining the heritage that you've been given. I think that's got to be one of the sickest ideas out there. You know, that you are given the greatest country the world has ever known, and it's okay to let it go to hell. That's okay. And you'll go to your maker, and you'll expect to be led into heaven. And, we'll put it this way, you know, if your neighbor, you get Christians who say, well, look, you know, it's not Christian to be involved in politics, you know, it's a dirty game. Well, you know, think that, you know, if your neighbor is starving and you don't do anything to help them, is that Christian? You know, if your town is being flooded and you refuse to go and help to man the sandbags to stop the flood, is that being Christian? So if your country is going to hell and you refuse to do anything to reverse that, can you call yourself Christian?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely right. And I've had a number of pastors on my radio show talking about that very thing. And one of the things with the good church leaders is that they don't allow tax-exempt 501c3 regulations and stuff like that to determine what they can say from the pulpit. And we need to return to real Christianity that's based on truth and fundamental principles and biblical teachings. And the only way we're going to get to that is when we've got pastors and people that are in charge of these churches that are willing to stick their neck out a little bit. The Black Robe Regiment of
exactly. The
Revolutionary War, those kind of people.
Well, can you imagine most of today's pastors picking up a gun and putting on a uniform and going out to defend their people from tyranny? You know, you can't, because the church has been so emasculated. You know, it's been feminized and emasculated, you know, to the point it's almost unrecognizable. And that's why we've got to value the few pastors that we have that actually will take a stand and understand their responsibilities. You know, there would have been no America without the Black Robe regiments, you know, the ones who, you know, had a Bible in one hand and a long rifle in the other. They understood that was a war for religious liberty. It wasn't about tea taxes. It was about the fact that a whole bunch of people had come from Europe to America for religious liberty, and they were not about to give it up. That's what that war was about.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be the attitude of pastors today, not just letting it be frittered away. You know, the worst thing that ever happened to American churches is when they were basically given tax-exempt status. And then Johnson, the Johnson Amendment, forbade churches talking about, you know, well, he forbade them from endorsing candidates. But now churches won't talk about politics or any issue, social issues, because they hide behind this excuse, which is completely bogus, that they'll lose their tax-exempt status. Well, what is more valuable to you, preaching what you know is truth and standing up for what is right, or saving 20% on your taxes? What's more valuable?
Right. No, you're right. You're right. And it's high time that our pastors from the pulpit understand that their responsibility is to protect their flock. Their responsibility is to protect the freedom that their parishioners have, and do it in any way that's absolutely necessary, because that is the essence of our system of government, is common law, natural law. It's called as nature's God, and laws under nature's God are what really created our constitutional system. It's really the foundation of our whole system of government.
Well, that's right. The first representative government was under Moses, you know, and that's where the American system of government comes from, representative government. You know, when Moses had thousands of people to look after and they're all coming to him complaining about things, he said, go away and choose from yourselves delegates to come and give me your complaints. So I'm talking to 10 people a day, not 1,000. And that was the beginnings of what you have today. So you've been given a fantastic system, the best political system ever. You know, that's a great gift. Do you think the giver of that gift is going to be pleased if you mistreat it or lose it?
Yeah, I certainly don't think so. Well, yeah, Trevor,
I don't think it shows a lot of respect or gratitude when you treat such a great gift so lightly.
Yeah, I agree. And it shows a total lack of responsibility as a citizen to stand back and allow the whole system to be destroyed and do absolutely nothing.
Now, your children have to live in what you leave behind. How can you say you love your children if you condemn them to slavery and do nothing about it?
Right. You're absolutely right. Well, you know, you mentioned early on the Red Pill Expo, and I have to tell you that several of the other speakers at that Red Pill Expo are the kind of black robe regiment pastors that we're talking about here tonight. Reverend Matthew Cummings was on my radio show, and I don't know if you're at all familiar with Matthew, but
I've certainly heard of his name.
Okay, well, he's a black pastor who was from Detroit, and in 1968, I believe, or 69, he was a 7-year-old kid, and his mother enrolled him in a program called the Children's Community School. And who was the principal of that school? Bill Ayers. And who was his teacher in that school, other than a lady who ultimately ended up blowing herself up making bombs for the Weather Underground? And Matthew's going to be one of the speakers at the Red Pill Expo along with you. And Jesse Lee Peterson is also going to be a speaker.
That's fantastic.
So it's going to be a really, really fantastic, fun weekend. And I really want to have our listeners go to redpillexpo.org site and really consider getting tickets and going to that event, because it is going to have some speakers there that will absolutely blow your mind. And all I can say is that that's what the Red Pill is all about. Trevor, you're familiar with the Red Pill concept, I know.
Yeah, I certainly am. And once you take it, there's no going back, you know.
That's right. There's no going back. And I'm hopeful that this event will be another one. We did one last year in Bozeman, Montana, that was a fantastic event. We had a virtual sellout to the program in little old Bozeman, Montana, and we had a number of people at that event that said that they'd been to different Liberty events around the country for years and years, and this was far and away the best event they had ever been to, that they had ever seen. And so I'm really promoting the Red Pill Expo tonight, because you are one of the speakers there. And all I can say is that, Trevor, I've known you now for a few years. We've crossed paths, I think, when you were first in the United States and first marketing your Enemies Within book, and I'm going to say it was sometime around, I'd have to guess it was 2011 or maybe 2012.
Yeah, 12. I think the first time I was in Montana was 2012.
Yeah, okay, so that's been a while back.
Just early 2012.
Well, I'll tell you, it was a real eye-opener, and I got your book at that event, and since then you've done the DVDs, and I've purchased quite a few of those, and I've done a marvelous job of getting those around to my friends and supporters. So I have to tell you, I'm looking forward to your new endeavor, your new film. You're working on something else now. You mentioned that it's going to get into the senatorial people that...
That's my next book. I've got two books on the go, but the next movie is going to be about the infiltration of American churches.
Not
just American churches, but everything from the Pope to the mainstream Christian churches in America to the now the infiltration of the evangelical churches, you know, which were relatively pure up till recently, are now being completely infiltrated by the left. You know, organizations like the Gospel Coalition, which is a Marxist group. You know, are turning thousands of young evangelicals into Israel-hating Bernie supporters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the future leadership of the churches right there.
Well, as a matter of fact, you're saying that. Next week I've got a lady on who is very expert, has been deeply involved in the expose of Pope Francis, and... her name is Elizabeth Yore, and I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she has done a tremendous amount of research, and, you know, we have our first Marxist pope. And
We do.
What a change. I'm rereading, and I know you've read this book. We've even talked about it on air. I hadn't read it for a number of years. I'm rereading Pacepa's book, disinformation, and what a marvelous man Pope Pius XII was, and how he stood in every way to try to protect the Jews from the extermination camps of the Nazis, and how he was such a rabid anti-communist after the war, and stood the ground, and all the different cardinals that stood with him, and the kind of disinformation campaigns that the communists used against them. Now, all of a sudden, we've got a Jesuit, the first Jesuit, who is now a pope, and that's pretty astounding in itself.
Well, it is, and, you know, I've got a lot of Catholic friends, and they will... A lot of them all understand that you have Marxist bishops, you have even Marxist cardinals, but they hate the idea there could be a Marxist pope. But that's just the reality. You have a pope who is pushing Marxism on hundreds of millions of Catholics, and it's causing huge confusion in the church. It's doing huge damage to the church, and we're going to call them out. Now, this is a guy who worked with the Communist Party in Argentina, who used to hide communist literature from the authorities, who couldn't wait for the Communist Party newspaper to be delivered each week so he could pour through it. Now, this isn't a liberal pope or a progressive pope. This guy is a full-on Marxist, and he's the head of the Catholic Church, one of the greatest anti-communist institutions the world has ever seen, is now run by a Marxist. And that ain't good for any of us. So there's that aspect, but we have to understand that the evangelical churches in America, the young people are being subverted at a heck of a rate. and that has to be exposed too, because these are the people that used to vote for Ronald Reagan and support Israel. Well, now they support Palestine and Bernie Sanders. They've gone way, way, way to the left. And we ain't got much time left to turn that around.
Well, and I with that, too, in 2 weeks, I've got Shahram Hadian, who I'm probably, you're probably familiar with him, is going to be on with Reverend Matthew Cummings. And Pastor Hayden is a gentleman who started out in Islam as a Muslim and converted to Christianity, and now he's one of the most outspoken American pastors on what is happening to the church. And he says exactly what you're talking about, Trevor. We have seen a change in the outlook, in the perspective, and in the teachings of the church.
Yes, it's, you know, you go into a lot of churches today, you'll never hear the word salvation or sin or repentance. You'll never hear anything like that, but you will hear a lot about social justice and countering white privilege and global warming and social, you know, social justice, all this kind of stuff. You know, these are just, many churches today are just left-wing social clubs. You know, they're nothing to do with Christianity, other than they might have a cross on the door if they're not too embarrassed to show it. You know, and so that's the way American Christianity is going, and you've got thousands of young people who think they're becoming Christians, and really they're just becoming religious Marxists.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And we've got the new worship of Gaia, which is replacing the really understanding of Christ the Savior. And this is happening right before our eyes in some of the biggest churches in the country.
Yeah, this worship of nature, Gaia worship, you know, and the sort of interchurch movement, the interfaith movements, you know, let's all be friendly with Islam, you know, let's adopt Chrislam, we're all worship the same God, right? Yeah. Yeah, well, no, it's not quite the truth.
Yeah,
but Christianity is the bulwark against communism, and communism is ultimately satanic. And so Christianity, you know, the devil is the father of lies. So everything that is good must be twisted. Good people must be made to do evil through deception. And that is what is happening now. You know, there's a thing, a great quote in the Bible. It says, you are sent as sheep among wolves. Be as gentle as doves, but as discerning as serpents. You know, you are sent into a world full of threats. Be gentle, be kind, but also be wise. Do not be fooled. Do not be led astray. You know, you're warned. You've been given fair warning that people will try and lead you astray. And a lot of them will be in the church. So just because you go into a church with a cross on the door doesn't mean it's Christian. Doesn't mean anything close to being Christian in some cases.
No, that's right. That's right, Trevor. Well, let's talk about very briefly about your expose of congressional members. How many? You talked about 100 in the House and 20 in the Senate. I know that you've identified Montana's Senator Tester as being one of that group. Would you maybe highlight some of the names of some of the people who are have been very intimately involved in communist or Marxist organizations who are now members of Congress?
Well, Tester is actively involved with some Latin American type communist groups. He's also been supported by the Council for a Livable World, which was set up by a Soviet spy to finance senators who would gut the military. But yeah, say look at Tammy Baldwin, who's a senator from Wisconsin. She's a longtime supporter of the Colombian Support Network, which is a group which supports the Colombian communist terrorists in Colombia. And they are the people who make their money by selling cocaine and heroin by the ton into America. Yet she has used her position in your Congress to get U.S. military aid cut off to the Colombian government so the communists can come to power. Rosa DeLauro from Connecticut, one of the very top Democrats in the House, actively works with the Connecticut Communist Party, goes to meetings in their headquarters, regularly attends, works very, very closely with them. You've got members of Democratic Socialists of America, a Marxist group serving in your Congress, like Jan Schakowsky of Chicago, Danny Davis of Chicago, and Jerry Nadler of New York, who's now the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, by the way, that oversees the FBI. You've got Andre Carson, who serves the Muslim rep from Indiana, who serves on the Intelligence Committee, overseeing all 16 of your intelligence agencies. We've got him on tape. He's very actively involved with Muslim Brotherhood fronts. These are the people that set up Hamas and Al-Qaeda. And we've got him on tape at one of their front meetings in Connecticut. And he says something like this. It's in the movie. He says, "We understand there are people at this meeting who are watching us, spying on us, because you think we are here plotting to overthrow this country. Well, I say to you people, undercover, Allah will not allow you to stop us." You know, and this guy serves on the Intelligence Committee, overseeing the FBI, the CIA, the NEA, the DEA, the whole lot. You know, you've got, you know, Karen Bass from California, who's involved with Line of March, a Maoist organization, has been to Cuba multiple times. You know, Barbara Lee from California was with the Communist Party for a long time, and she's been to Cuba more than 23 times. You know, I could just go on and on. Raul Grijalva, who serves on the Education Committee, one of the top Democrats, used to write for the Communist Party newspaper, went to Communist Party meetings in Arizona for many years.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? I mean, they have literally infiltrated the highest levels of our government, and they are completely immune to any of the normal scrutiny that any one of us would have were we to do something like that. The media, the mainstream media gives them a free pass. All the government agencies give them a free pass. And they are working actively to destroy what their oath of office says they're there to protect, and they get a free pass. It's
amazing, Trevor. That's exactly the situation. You know, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Tim Kaine, and Hillary Clinton, not one of them could pass a background security check. Not one of them would have any chance at all. Tim Kaine is involved with the Muslim Brotherhood. So was Obama. Plus, he's been a communist for years. You know, Joe Biden was involved with the Soviet. And Hillary Clinton was involved with the communists and the Soviets and the Muslim Brotherhood for decades. And the Chinese as well. None of them would be allowed to be a realtor in Florida. Not one of them could drive a school bus. Yet they were all presidential or vice presidential candidates, or actual sitting presidents or vice presidents of the United States. Not one of them would have any chance of passing a background check.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to prove your point and about the American voter's stupidity, the fact that Bernie Sanders, who is a very open socialist, nominations could have been a front runner in the Democratic primary, and a lot of people say that if it had been a legitimate primary election, that he would have probably won over Hillary Clinton. That tells you a lot about our system of government and how controlled and contrived it really is.
Well, that tells you a lot about the education system and the young millennials. They say that if only 18 to 25-year-olds had voted in the last election, Republicans would have only won three states. So that tells you where the young people are at. And just on Bernie Sanders, you know, they say, oh, at least he's honest, at least he's a socialist. He tells you he's a socialist. Look, he tells you he's a pro-Sweden, Norway type of socialist. He is a pro-Cuban Marxist. The only difference between Bernie Sanders' democratic socialism and full-on Cuban communism is about 5 to 10 years. The guy has worked with communists his entire career. He's as much of a BS artist as any of them.
Right, you're right. Well, I hate to say this, Trevor, but we've run out of time, and I want to thank you for being on the program tonight. I think this was a terrific program. I look forward to seeing you in about 3 weeks at the Red Pill Expo in Spokane, Washington.
I'm really looking forward to it, Dan.
We will have a lot of fun there. I think you'll really enjoy that program, and I ask our listeners, go to redpillexpo.org and get your tickets, because we have an event planned that will absolutely blow your mind. So with that, I turn the program back over to you, Kelby, and thank our listeners for tuning in, and we will see you again next week to Connect the Dots.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's show with Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. God bless. Good night. We'll see you next Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific.